Welcome back to Fire Interview, the Storyteller Podcast. Today's guest is Captain Ashley Losh from Glendale Fire Department in Arizona. Ashley is not only a captain with Glendale Fire, but she's also a paramedic, their public information officer, and runs their social media. Whether you're looking at their social media on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, trust me, it is the best fire department social media I have seen across the country. It is absolutely hilarious. Plus, there's tons of information on there. Make sure that you go follow their social media at Glendale Fire. You will not be disappointed. We talk about her career in the fire service, being a female firefighter, working her way up to captain. We also tell lots of war stories from some incidents that she's been on, and we talk about Glendale Fire Department's hiring process. They are hiring right now, and in order to apply, you can go to publicsafetyanswers.com/GlendaleAZ, or as always, you can click on the link in our bio on Instagram at @fire_interview. Speaking of hiring, Glendale is using publicsafetyanswers.com, one of our other sponsors. So if you are working for a fire department and you want to take your firefighter testing to the 21st century, Public Safety Answers does online recruitment. They do behavioral and cognitive testing. They do first round video interviews. It's an amazing company that is bringing firefighter recruitment to the 21st century. So make sure you reach out to them at publicsafetyanswers.com. We are excited to announce our new sponsorship with Josh Bridges. If you are trying to become a firefighter or you already are a firefighter and you need top-of-the-line physical fitness programming, Josh Bridges, for those of you who don't know, is a former Navy SEAL. He's a 6-time CrossFit Games competitor, a 4-time CrossFit Regionals champion, and a 7-time CrossFit Open winner, not to mention that he was also a Navy SEAL. So Josh is an absolute badass, a master of his craft, one of the fittest people on the planet, and he has partnered with Fire Interview to bring you top-of-the-line physical fitness programming. The only way to access this programming right now is through fire-interview.com. So go check out our website, click on the link for fitness programming, and get you the best physical fitness programming in the world. We're also brought to you by X-Endurance Supplements. X-Endurance is a supplement company that makes everything from protein powder to daily vitamins to creatine, which I take every single day. We partner with X-Endurance because I was tired of wading through a sea of people who are Instagram and TikTok influencers telling me, take this, no, take this. And the truth is all their ingredients were total garbage. So X-Endurance uses third-party testing. They use absolute top-of-the-line ingredients. That's the supplements that I take every day. It's who I trust. You can use code FIREINTERVIEW at checkout and get 25% off of your order. So make sure you use code FIREINTERVIEW, get your 25% off X-Endurance. Last but not least, our new sponsor, which I'm very excited about, is Traeger Grills. Traeger sent me the new Ironwood 885 with Wi-Fire technology. It's amazing. They sent me a bunch of different types of wood and a bunch of different rubs. We're really excited to do some videos and show you how the grill works. For those of you who don't know me personally, I absolutely love grilling and smoking, so I'm really excited about this partnership, and we're going to be releasing a ton of recipes and videos. We've already made smoked buffalo wings, and we've made tri-tip, and we've made ribs. I could not be happier with my Ironwood 885, so make sure you go check out Traeger Grills. It makes it really, really easy. You don't need to start any fires. You don't even really need to know what you're doing. You can just go on the app and do it all from your phone. So make sure you check them out. Absolutely amazing. Love my Traeger Ironwood 885. And now, without further ado, Captain Losh. Captain Losh.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to have you. You have one of the best Instagrams, I think. Probably the best in Arizona.
Well, thank you. That's quite the compliment. I appreciate that. I work hard on it.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit about your Instagram, but tell people a little bit about who you are.
So my name is Ashley Losh. I have been a medic captain for just under 22 years, and I've been a PIO for 4 of those. I was on a truck for 17 years before coming to the office, which was a really difficult transition. But outside of that, I'm a mom of a 17-year-old boy, so that has challenges all in and of itself. You have little ones, so you have yet to experience these really fun times, but yep, they're coming. I grew up in California and moved to Arizona to go to ASU and graduated with a degree in exercise science. I said, I'm going to give myself a year to get hired on the fire department, and I got hired a year and 4 days later. So here I am.
So you never used your exercise science degree for anything?
Well, it came in handy when I went to medic school. Certainly that background in anatomy and physiology and all of the things that you learn was helpful. It has not proven so helpful while my son takes chemistry in high school or any of those things. You would think I could recall some of it. I can't. I think it comes in handy with general fitness and being able to stay healthy and have good workouts and things of that nature. But yeah, specifically, no.
Yeah, I've been trying to look for... We're already going to get off track. It's okay. I've been trying to look for like a college class or a book to learn more about macros. So I started tracking macros in January.
Okay.
To try to get my dad... I'm not trying to go to the Olympics anymore, but I'm trying not to be a dad bod.
Okay.
And so I cut like 25 pounds since January. Wow. And... but then when other people ask me, like, oh, how should I do my macros? For those of you who don't know, that's tracking your protein, your carbohydrates, and your fat in grams. And so I'm doing like 205 grams of protein, 165 grams of carbs, and 65 grams of fat.
Okay.
And you have to weigh all your food.
Right.
So have you done macros before?
Well, I was going to, and then I gave up because we talked earlier about, was I an engineer? And I said, no, I hate math. Well, that also holds true when it comes to pretty much everything. I avoid math. But in all honesty, I hate dieting. Food is really one of the only things I love in life.
Yes.
So macros was not going to be conducive to just like loving food. And I hate when I just obsess about it. So
yeah,
I admire what you're doing and I think it's incredible and congrats on 25 pounds down. But no, I don't do macros. You can do it on your phone though. I mean, yes, the world has made it so easy.
MyFitnessPal, it's free.
Yes.
Not a sponsor. MyFitnessPal hit me up. Yeah, and for people who know me, they're going to be like, this is total BS, he eats whatever he wants. I had a nutrition coach, actually.
Oh,
when
wow.
I first started, I paid a coach, like,
okay,
and I was super strict for probably 6 weeks. And then she was emailing me, and because I had to send her pictures of myself, like all these different pictures every week in this report, mm-hmm, and what I ate and all this stuff. And then she, every week, my wife and I go on a date night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll eat whatever I want that night.
Good. Cheat day.
Yes. And so she emails me back because she's like never had alcohol, very serious, like super serious.
Oh no.
And so she goes, are you gonna cheat every week? That's
yes,
what she emails
yes
me.
I am. I'm glad you've caught on yeah to this. I am going
and
to cheat
so
every
I
week.
Emailed her back. I said, I have to do something that's realistic and sustainable for me.
Yes.
So if you're trying to be a pro bodybuilder, good for you. That's yeah realistic and sustainable for you. If you have a wife and two little kids and work full time and have companies, then
right,
I may need to have a margarita from time to time.
And I might like mac and cheese. So
yeah, it's okay.
It's going to be all, no one's going to die if I have a piece of pizza.
Yeah.
I just have to balance better, right?
But I am trying to find like a good college class or something on macros, if anybody knows.
I don't know.
Because I feel like my experience with colleges has been not what I like. Like if you sign up for a leadership class, it's just to get the credits. It's not actually very
yeah
good content.
I think that you're probably looking more for like a specialty class.
Like a seminar,
right,
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there are other coaches here in the Valley that do the macros thing that are much
yes
more lenient and
yeah
realistic. In fact, I'll give you a rec after we're done.
Yeah. Do you want to shout them out or do you want to tell me later?
I'll tell you. I haven't used them, but I know other people
okay
that have.
Okay. So we'll get back to you.
Oh no,
nobody's here to talk about me.
We can talk about whatever.
So you got hired on the fire department in 2000.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the hiring process like for you? Did you have help? Did you know what to do?
Well, Yes and no. In the beginning, not a clue. So I was going to ASU, and I had met a female firefighter. If you don't know my background story, when I was 5, I was in a really bad accident and went through the windshield, was transported to the hospital, and excuse me. My mom was in serious condition as well. When my dad and my grandfather got there, the firefighters had stayed with me that entire time. And who knows how long that was in my 5-year-old brain, but for me, it felt like a long time. And I turned to my dad and I said, I'm going to be a firefighter when I grow up. And he patted me on the head and said, girls can't be firefighters. I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's my mentor. That's my hero. He says, can't do it, can't do it. Fast forward to college, meet a female firefighter. She's like, takes me on a ride along. I'm hooked. But as green can be, because I really don't know anything about it. And I live in Arizona where my entire family is in California. So I don't have any real roots here and no connections to it. So I just sort of started from scratch and started focusing my workouts differently to get prepared for it and did an internship with the Phoenix Fire Health Center because that aligned with my major. And while there, I started networking and started talking to people and how did you do it and what did you do? And so I still really didn't know what I was doing. Met with a couple captains and went to a couple fire stations, but I still really didn't know what I was doing. I met with one Glendale firefighter at the time to talk about interviews. We talked for probably an hour and he was like, you'll be fine.
Which is not common.
No, and I was like, okay. I really still had no idea what I was getting myself into. So I sort of walked in green, which might have been good for me. I don't know that that's great for everybody. And certainly over the years, the process of the interview has taken on a whole other animal. And I do tons of work and lots of self-reflection when I'm getting ready for an interview. So I've changed that. But going in green, I guess that innocence was okay. And as you can tell already, I'm pretty long-winded, so I don't have a problem just sort of talking.
Yeah, well, that's most people's hardest thing in the interview is they're like, I don't think I can talk for 4 or 5 minutes on each of these topics.
Yeah, I could talk for 4 or 5 hours. They're like, okay, enough. So, yeah, that process, though nerve-wracking, because I didn't know what I was getting myself into, really wasn't that bad. After having my first interview and going into the second, I knew a little more about what I was getting myself into and how scared I was going to feel and what it was going to look like. Right. Yeah. So,
yeah, I like too that you mentioned being a female firefighter and you were told that you can't, cause my little 4-year-old that you met, she told me that she goes, girls can't be firefighters. And I don't know where she got that from. So I took her to the station, showed her female fire. That's why when you came in, I said, she's a firefighter, like trying to ingrain in her head that it's not a boy's job.
No, not at all. And to my father's defense in the early 80s, there weren't a lot of, that was just when women are starting to come on the job.
Yeah.
So he believed that. And in LA, we definitely didn't have any females at the time. Mm-hmm. It's a different world now. And I think we have some of the most incredible females on my department. I'm so proud of the women that I work with. And anyone that knows me knows I'm not like a rah-rah girl.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of one of the guys and part of a department that I'm really, really proud of. But I'm not like, we have to have all these women. That's not who I am. I'm proud of it, but it's not who I am. It's just part of me.
Yeah. Did you find, like, when you got hired in 2000, I mean, it wasn't the 1980s, but it was still 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. Did you have any struggles being a female? I'm sure there wasn't a ton in 2000.
I was the 8th on my department of 257 now. I was number 8. So, yeah, in 2000, relatively small number yet. I will say for us, because we are a smaller, more tight-knit department similar to yours, when I got there, all the women that are on the department at the time took us out to dinner. I got hired and then two other females behind me, one class behind me, we got hired. So three of brand new women on this department and they took us all out to dinner And they were like, we're here for you. And if you have questions, we'll support you. That meant so much really, really early on. And we all have struggles, certainly. It's I think male or female, because I've seen plenty of guys have struggles too.
Definitely.
It's a challenging job when you don't know what you're stepping into. If you haven't done the research and you're, mm-hmm. you don't exactly understand the culture, it's a little shocking.
Yeah. Do you have any specific advice if there's a young lady listening to this who wants to be a firefighter on what they can do to prepare?
Yeah. Ride along. Really research the place that you're going. Make sure it suits your personality and you understand what the culture is going to expect of you. I think it's the best job in the world. I wouldn't change a second of my career, good, bad, and ugly, because they're all there, right?
Yeah.
I would say go for it, do it. It's so rewarding. You'll love it. But anything in life has challenges, and that's what makes it worth it.
Yeah, I'll throw some fitness advice in, and hopefully you agree with me. I think the biggest challenge, like most young women are worried, like, how am I going to compete physically? Mm-hmm. And to be fair, most men are worried about the same thing, sure. right? When I showed up to my first intern, which is kind of like tryouts, there were just these beasts there, these right. animals, like, that just got done playing pro football and all these things. I'm mm-hmm. like, where do they find these animals, you know? Because they have 1,000 people and right. we're down to the top ones, and it's hard to compete.
Yeah.
But if I could help men and women, doesn't really matter, both see it on both sides, is like grip strength is usually a big problem, right? Uh-huh. Because we're also used to the what I'll just call Globo Gym,
right?
And you get on the machines and it doesn't really require you to grip a bar. Uh-huh. So instead of doing hack squats or leg press or any of those machines that are on a track, do back squats, do deadlifts where you have to use some grip strength. Because when you put those structure gloves on, it's going to make it all that much worse. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see people fail, men and women. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they're not physically capable. A lot of times it's because they can't grip, you know, for the dummy drag or sure. for the ladder raise or right. whatever it is that you think you're struggling mm-hmm. with. They think, well, I need bigger shoulders or I need bigger quads. Most of the time, it's because your grip is too weak to hold the pike pole or to hold the rope or to hold the dummy. So think about that when you're in the gym. Is this exercise that I'm doing, is it related to the job I'm trying out for, or is it just going to make me look better on the beach?
Right. So funny you say that, twofold. I said to you, you know, when I decided this is what I wanted to do, I started to adjust my workouts for that, right? So working out specifically to be prepared to be a firefighter. When I was doing my internship, I had a captain tell me, you're never going to get hired because your grip strength isn't strong enough. So that was defeating, considering I didn't know a whole lot of people. Yeah. I didn't have any support staff behind me, you know, like my parents thought I was insane. Like, what are you want to be a what? It didn't run in my family. We didn't know anybody that did it. It was very wild card mm-hmm. for our family. So I really didn't have a support system. And then I had this captain tell me, you'll never be a firefighter because your grip strength isn't strong enough. Mind you, I had been a masseuse for 4 years at that point. So I had pretty strong hands.
Yeah.
And I thought I had pretty good grip strength, but I worked diligently to improve it, and it was just rolling a weight up on a yeah. bar with a string attached and, you know, doing some extensions and flexion when it came to that. I'm sure it improved it. I don't know if it was massive, but in the contrary to what you're saying, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but for women, our power comes from our hips and our legs. And so much of firefighting is about body mechanics for mm-hmm. us and learning the proper technique. Most guys can muscle it up, can push through just based on being guys and having that physique. We don't have that. So we have to learn to use our bodies in the right way. And my mentor in my academy put it in the best perspective for me in that way. He was like, you're strong enough to do this, but you're struggling, and let me show you why.
Yeah.
And as soon as I improved those body mechanics, it was like, oh, this is easy. I can do this.
Yeah. Good advice on fitness and stuff. We have actually a new sponsor with Josh Bridges. So if you go to josh-bridges.com/fitforfire, we have fitness plans now that you can sign up for.
Nice.
If you don't have access to a good the best thing to do is to get into like a cadet program or ride along or find a mentor for sure.
For sure.
But if you don't have access to that and you just need somewhere to start, or if your mentor is not the physical beast and they are just helping you with interviews or whatever, Josh Bridges is probably one of the fittest people on the planet. So
it can be intimidating.
It's definitely intimidating. It's intimidating equally for the guys, I know, for sure. It's not just a girl thing, for sure, because I know some guys that show up and they're like, you're just not prepared, you know, for
what's to come.
Even some of our top people, we've had people that played in the NFL for 7 years, and they come to the intern and put on the turnouts, and they're like, this is no joke.
Oh, yeah.
This is like the worst thing I've done.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I love the term industrial athlete. Like, we really are industrial athletes. And so that isn't a term most people are even remotely familiar with, and the idea is probably pretty foreign. But it's the truth. There is a specific workout, there's a specific skill set. All of those things need to be cultivated. It's not just something that you would innately have. So you have to work at being an industrial athlete the same way you work at being an NFL athlete or a triathlete or whatever it is that you're working to do. You do specific workouts. So, you know, currently I can't talk because I've been embracing the skinny fat life of being in the office, but I love to hike and I love to go for a run, and that's where I do my best thinking. And, you know, it's an emotional release as well as a physical one, and to keep you healthy. And we know the risks for firefighters specifically when it comes to health and cardiovascular disease and things like that. So we have to all stay up on it, whether we're skinny fat or not.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, but you have to really push the envelope if that's your way of communicating to your body that it needs to change.
Yeah.
So if you just do squats and it starts to burn a little bit, so you stop, you didn't really do anything. And I don't mean to beat up on people, like, good for you that you at least made it into the gym. But, like, I was watching a Jay Cutler TikTok the other day. I don't know if you know who he is, but he is a professional bodybuilder. And he's like, I was part of a gym where you squat until your nose bleeds. And if your nose isn't bleeding, you haven't gone heavy enough.
Oh my gosh. That is really intense. So, I don't think it needs to be that intense.
Yeah, I'm not giving it, but you shouldn't squat till your nose bleeds. No. But I guess the point is when you really push the envelope, that's my way of communicating to my body to say, hey, tonight when I'm asleep, you need to build more muscle because this is our new normal.
Sure. Well, and I think it's important to recognize it doesn't always have to happen in the gym either, because like we were saying, you know, for us, it's not necessarily in a gym. It's in turnouts. It's in the heat. It's dragging hose. It's moving dummies. You know, it's raising ladders. That's one of the hardest workouts you'll ever have. I don't know a person that went through the academy that doesn't say a skills course sucks and it's so hard. And there's no gym component to it, right?
Yeah, there's no relief from the heat and turnouts for sure. And then, of course, in the kitchen, like, you can't out-train a bad diet. I used to be able to when I was 19.
Yeah.
But as I get older, the kitchen becomes more and more important.
Well, you can't. If you're trying to change your body, food is where it's at. As much as I want to deny that and I just want to eat donuts and pizza, the truth is, if you're concerned about that and that's how you want to, where you want to see change, it's all about food.
So you're going to cheat every week?
Right. You want a margarita? How dare you? And it's probably not going to be just one.
So after you get hired, one story I always like to talk about is, do you remember your first fire, like your first good working fire?
I certainly do. 3 days into being on the department, it was the day before Easter, because, you know, you go through the academy. So got out in April and it was warm, and I was at engine 154, and we were, now I think we were either second or third due to this fire, but ended up being first in. It was a giant ranch style house, and we pull up. I have a move up captain and a move up engineer, and it's me and a fairly new firefighter in the back seat. And and it is blowing through the roof of this house, and you can see the fire through the front window. And I think the firefighter in the back turned and looked at me and thought, oh my God, she's gonna freak out. And my eyes must have been huge. And he said, just take a deep breath, look at the house. Where are the bedrooms? What's the makeup of the house? And he said, you ready? And I said, yeah. He said, go. And off we went. And it was pretty awesome. Funny story with that, because, you know, you're nervous. It's your first fire. We go in, we clear the house, we find the seat of the fire, we start to put it out. The AC unit actually comes through the roof into the living room. Thankfully, no one got hurt, but it was pretty intense.
Yeah.
We go out, get another bottle, come back in, and as I said, acting captain with me, we had put a ladder up, and he said, hop up there and look in the attic. And so I'm climbing up, he's standing to my left, and I put the hose kind of under my arm to climb up the ladder, and it gets, the bale gets caught on my sleeve as I get up there, and I just punch the captain in the face with the hose line. I mean, I just open this bale up, it throws him down the hallway, he loses his radio, his mask gets all disheveled, and I'm like, oh my, I'm so sorry, you know, and he's gone. I mean, he's way down the hall, and I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, I gotta get up here and just do my work. And it was embarrassing, but you know, yeah. First fire.
We all make mistakes.
We do. You live and learn. But that advice from that firefighter in the back seat was the best thing anyone could ever do for me, because it slowed me down.
Yeah.
It made me take a deep breath and really look at the structure and think about what I was walking into.
Yeah, you get stuck in academy mode and like what you learned in the academy, which is good stuff, but then in real life, it's different.
Right. Yeah. I'm thinking clamp.
Yeah. I had a firefighter. This is first fire, and so we like force the door, and he's on the nozzle, so I'm right behind him, and he like lays down on the ground like he's gonna crawl in, but it's totally clear conditions. We force the door, and it's totally clear, so I just like step over him and look back. I'm like, what are you doing, little buddy?
And,
but in you the academy, you always have to clamp slide, or you have to crawl.
Yeah.
They never let you walk in the academy.
Rarely, yeah.
But in real life, if there's clear conditions, just walk in.
Yeah, that's true.
But he was so stuck in his training.
Sets and reps.
Yeah, that he's going to crawl in this place. And I just stepped over him.
That's funny.
I had another friend that I went to the academy with who works for Mesa, and you know, in the academy, you like check each other before you go into a real fire.
Yeah.
Like, hey, make sure my coat's closed and my hood's on or whatever.
Do I have a helmet?
Yeah, in real life, not so much, right?
We're pretty good about it, I would say. In the early days, not as good. Now, better, for sure. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever like stopped to check someone else's turnouts.
Okay, we do it.
Yeah.
We're pretty good about it, actually.
We don't.
Okay.
And so we're on this fire, and my buddy's with us, like a multi-agency thing. And there's another captain there from Tempe.
Okay.
And so my buddy, it's like one of his first fires, he turns to the captain and goes, check me, and motions towards his gear.
And he's looking at him.
And the captain just goes, if you're not ready to go on the fire, get back on the truck.
Oh,
and so like different, right?
Yes.
Different training.
Culture.
Yeah, his culture was, your gear is your responsibility.
Yes.
I'm not going to stop and check to make sure your coat is closed.
Right.
Right. So it's just differences between the academy and real life.
I mean, there's absolute differences between the academy and the real life. No doubt about it. But that is so funny. You know, the things you remember, because you probably had 1,000 fires, right? And that's what sticks in your head about that. I had one that just pops in my head when you say the guy was on the ground. You know, we get to this condo fire. It's the middle of summer. It's super hot. I'm on the nozzle. The guy in front of me forces the door. We take a couple steps in, and I go, there's a cat right here. I go, get the cat. And he's looking at me, very seasoned firefighter, looks at me. I'm like, get the cat. And he just looks, and I go, okay, I'll get the cat. And he goes, give me the nozzle. I go, I'm not giving you the nozzle. I pick up the cat. I walk outside. I gently place the cat outside. And then I go back in and start fighting the fire. But he wanted to take my nozzle. He wasn't going to pick up the cat because he wanted the nozzle. I was like, Listen, I might be new, but I wasn't born not yesterday.
Yeah, for right. those of you that are not firefighters, you never give up the nozzle.
No.
Never.
No. And that fire, I proceeded to be angry when I walked back through and didn't notice the couch directly in front of me, and then decided to go ass over tea kettle over that couch, and he ended up taking the nozzle anyway from me as I laid on the ground. But, you know,
yeah.
I tried to save the cat.
So you had your cat fire, you had your first fire where you had the AC unit come through, but nobody got hurt.
Thankfully.
Have you ever been hurt in a fire?
I have. We had an apartment fire, 2-story apartment fire in a all block apartment. And we were first in. I was with a captain that is very, very tall. And so I'm in front of him with the nozzle. And we open the door, and it is, I mean, floor to ceiling, the hottest thing I've ever felt, ever. And he goes, go. And I physically, my body would not allow me to move into the room. It was so hot. And so I'm trying to cool it, and it's just not doing any good. And he's starting to get frustrated because he really wants me to go in. And I'm trying, and I'm just wincing. And he finally says, I'll go. And he grabs it, and he gets in front of me, and he's like, oh shit, it is so hot. And you know, he's thinking he's 6'3" or 6'4", and so there's no way I was shielding him. I was absolutely shielding him from that heat. So when he got in front of me and he felt it, he was like, never mind, here. He gave it back to me. A second hand line got up there, and we ended up hydraulically ventilating. So we were able to push out the smoke and the heat and move in and put it out. Well, as I said, it was the hottest thing I've ever felt. We get out, pull my stuff off, and I'm like, am I burned, like, right here on my face? And they go, no, it's red, but you're fine. I go, no, seriously, it really hurts. Are you sure?
Yeah.
No, you're fine. So, great, go back. I'm crawling in the attic in the apartment adjacent because we're trying to make sure that it wasn't spreading. Come back out. We'd worked through 3 bottles at this point. Pull off my mask again, and I go, okay, seriously, am I burned? And they take one look, they go, oh shit, it's all bubbled, oh yeah, you're burned. You know, and it was my face, and so I was going, oh great. But you got to be tough and be like, oh, okay, I'm cool. And they call the ambo over, got any burn sheets? And I still hadn't seen it at that point, because really I was like, I probably shouldn't look, because I know how bad it feels. And after some extensive conversation, they drove me POV to a non-burn center hospital where I started getting some treatment, and wasn't treated quite the way I probably should have been. And at that time, we were going to the Phoenix Fire Health Center. So the next day, I went down there because my face looked really bad. And they were like, did they debride it? Did they scrape it? Nope. So I had a 1-year-old at the time on my hip, and they said, well, we're going to need to debride that and scrape that out, and we'll give you something for pain. I'm like, I'm driving this little guy, so nothing for pain. So they handed me a bite stick, and they cleaned it out and scraped it, and yeah, it was pretty nasty.
I remember, did you ever go to a county hospital in your medic clinicals?
It haunts me.
I remember doing that, yeah.
Does it haunt you?
No. But I do remember it being pretty gnarly. For those of you who don't know, when you go from EMT to paramedic, you have to go do these clinical rotations at the hospital. Yeah. One of them is at the burn center.
Yeah.
And it's pretty gnarly. We had a couple of new burns come in, and luckily these people weren't awake, so they put them under. But even putting them under, like, you can still see their heart rate going up as they're scraping all this skin off of them.
Yeah. So when I did mine, do you remember the APS guy that had touched the wire and got burned really badly? He was unconscious. Probably not.
I don't remember.
It was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So he had touched the wire. It went in his hand and came out his side because, you know, electricity travels.
Yeah.
So, he was sitting, they would put them in a bathtub, they would give him a bunch of morphine, and they would sit in a bathtub, and they had to scrape it themselves, right? And this man, he was probably in his late 20s, early 30s, but I'm not sure, was scraping this, and it haunts. When I say it haunts me, it still haunts me. It was just like, oh my God, this is horrific. Oh, yeah. And you can't give enough pain medicine to tolerate it. You know, my little burn was nothing in comparison.
Yeah, burns are rough. I've never been burnt like that in a fire, but I did have a. It's funny you talk about like switching places with your captain because I was in a basement fire.
Oh wow!
And super hot, and I'm switching off with my firefighter because we're like getting burnt up pretty good.
Yeah,
and he's a super good firefighter and super tough firefighter. Yeah. We're laying on the ground trying to stay below the thermal layer, and he's like. I'm getting burnt. So I'm like, okay, switch with me. And so he switches with me and he lays on the ground, puts his hands between his legs on the ground to try to cool off for a minute because his gear is saturated. So then I'm fighting fire for a while and now I'm getting burnt. So we switch. Now I lay on the ground behind him and try to get some relief. And we're just switching off laying on the ground behind each other.
Did you ever think maybe we should get out?
Well, it was a training fire.
Oh, okay.
In our basement. And so the idea of the training fire was to kind of make it pretty hot and going down the basement. And so the good part about that fire, I mean, the bad part was it was super hot.
Yeah.
We were definitely getting burnt. But the good part is then the next fire I'm in and it gets started getting hot, I can remember back to my basement fire and go, okay, I'm pretty uncomfortable, but I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
And so the only way to really do that is for your training to be as realistic as possible.
For sure.
Because if you just light one pallet in training and you go in and put it out like a campfire, you're like, oh, this firefighting thing's easy.
Right. You're not prepared.
If you like, not saying you should burn people, but like take them pretty close to the edge.
Yeah.
Now I have that in my mind about how hot can I really get before my gear is saturated.
Yeah. So
some people don't like that kind of training, but I like it.
At the moment,
I did not like it.
Yeah. I remember distinctly in the academy crawling through where the water had really started to boil on the ground.
Yeah.
And then everything's wet, your gloves are wet, and you're thinking, are my hands boiling right now? I mean, it's the same concept. I'm thinking, how are they letting us just be in here? Like, we're all going to be burned when we come out, and they're going to lose a whole academy class because we're all going to be burned.
For sure, my hands were burnt, I thought.
Yeah.
I was in the hallway the stairwell going down to the basement, humping hose for those guys as they made the basement. And so the stairway to the basement is the hottest part. That's the chimney effect. Those guys make the bottom and lay down, and they're in a pretty good spot. I'm in like the worst spot.
Absolutely.
But I have to get them some hose before I can go down there.
Right.
And one of our BCs, he sees me come out the door to get more hose and then go back down the stairs again with hose. And he sees me like shaking my hands.
Yes.
And I'm just telling myself like, don't bail on your guys. You're okay. You're okay. And I'm thinking for sure my hands are going to be blistered.
Oh, gosh.
And they weren't.
Isn't that
which
crazy?
Which is a good lesson.
Absolutely.
Like, because I thought for sure I'm getting burnt, but I'm not going to be the guy that bails on his.
Oh, no. I mean, you just said it. That's learning where your limits are, right? In all aspects. But that's hard to teach. In fact, it's probably unteachable. But teaching what you were just saying, like you're shaking your hands, right? So you're trying to get that air barrier there and in your gear to try to keep yourself from getting those contact burns.
What I was really thinking is I'm going to take these gloves off and bail out, is what I was thinking. That's not what I did, but in my head I was like, I'm not going down there again.
Mind over matter.
But I did.
Mind over matter.
So that's not the only time you've been hurt. You were in an ambulance accident too.
Yeah. So this just sounds like I'm a big mess and a klutz, but yeah, I was. For a brief period of time, we had what we referred to as medic rides in Glendale, and that was so that the engine, you could go take over ALS treatment to transport someone to the hospital, and the engines or ladders could go back in service. So it was a way to keep people available to run more calls while still providing the best treatment for a patient. So I was on a medic ride. It was a big ambulance, bigger than the average ambulance that you would see in terms of the front end. It was real heavy duty. And we were going to a call, and we were actually not even going real fast because I remember saying to my partner, I think they're way ahead of us, and I think they're going to cancel us. It doesn't sound like it's going to be ALS. So he was really taking his time going to the call, and we got hit head on by a Suburban, and it spun us, and it proceeded to hit a couple other cars, and we went up on an embankment, and it was so bad that the driver, my partner, couldn't even get out of his door. It was wrecked. And I was worried that he was really, really badly hurt. I knew I was hurt, but he was not responding to me for a few minutes. So I had to, call for help and balance it and kind of give an on-scene report almost right after having been hit head on in this ambo. And when I realized he was okay and we were both able to climb out, immediately walked over to the other cars to see if everyone was okay. She had three kids in the car, and so took one of the kids out and was holding her. She was bleeding, so then I was covered in this little girl's blood trying to treat her, and here comes the BC, right? Our BC gets on scene, and they're like, "You're bleeding? What is that?" I'm like, "I'm not bleeding. It's her blood. Treat them, and then they treated us and transported us to the hospital. I ended up having a pretty bad concussion. I was out for about 6 weeks with what they called brain quiet, and proceeded to do brain therapy for about a year. I suffered headaches for 2 years after that, and I think I still have some brain damage, to be honest. But yeah, it was pretty brutal. That was brutal.
Yeah, that sounds brutal. So you were out for 6 weeks.
Yeah, with your head injury. Brain quiet. So no TV, no radio, no telephone, no reading. You're literally supposed to sit in a room, in a dark room, for 6 weeks.
Is that what you did?
Yes, Dr. Erickson, that is exactly what I did. Yeah. I did my best. I'm not real good at sitting around and doing nothing. And I was a single mom of a little guy at the time. So yeah. There still had to be driving to things, and meals had to be made. And I did my best.
Yeah, that would be really hard. And you're not on the truck now, but not because you're brain damaged.
Well, it's debatable. Depends who you ask. Right. No, I'm not. I have been the PIO for 4 years.
Do you want to explain what a PIO is to people who maybe don't know?
Sure. So it stands for Public Information Officer. Most companies, whether they're private, public sector, have a PIO in some capacity. Some people consider it just someone who would respond to public inquiries to give out information. In our instance, I run our social media. We do media events. We do internal events. I can't even begin to list all of the things. I write articles.
Podcasts.
Podcasts, which, pro tip, this is my favorite thing to do. It's super fun. I get to be a part of a lot of different processes. I've been a part of, our Vincere cancer screenings. That's a pet project of mine, and I'm really proud of that. And we were able to secure $1 million grant for that. And so we did publicity as part of that, and that has had a phenomenal response across the country. We've talked to a lot of different fire departments because of that. So, yeah, it's different. It's totally different than firefighting.
So if a big incident happens, are you the one on the news?
I am. I'm on the news.
How do you like that?
I don't mind. I think in the beginning I was nervous, very nervous to do it, because that wasn't really something in my wheelhouse. Now, I'll be honest, I grew up performing, so being on a stage was comfortable for me.
What'd you perform?
I did theater, musical theater and theater growing up. I thought I was going to be an actress after my dad said, "Can't be a firefighter." I was like, I grew up in LA. I'm like, I'm going to be an actress like everybody else. And then I realized my voice was not up to par with what a lot of these people were doing on Broadway, for sure. And too dynamic of a career in terms of finances. I need something secure. So that wasn't going to happen. But to answer your question, it's different than being on a stage. There's no script. I have to really know what I'm talking about and make sure I'm saying the right things and not saying things that I shouldn't say. Yes. So
I think that's the hardest part about talking to the news is they are trying to get information that they know you're probably not supposed to say. Mm-hmm. Like, so the way they word it, like, do you think it was arson? And you're like, it's under investigation.
Yes.
And they're like, did you see anything that thinks it would lead? Do you have any leads? Do you think that they keep pushing
leading
the
questions.
Same and you just have to stay super disciplined and go, it's under investigation. It's under investigation.
Right. Even when you know things one way or another, and you know you're not allowed to release that information, it's tough, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't have a ton of training when I came in, so knowing what to say and what not to say was a little bit of OJT. Mm-hmm. And now I have some backups, and I really stress. These are the things we do not say, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't want to offend anybody, and it's not our place to make judgment. So that we're just there to report the news, right? And
yeah.
That's a hard thing. We're firefighters. Like, report the news. What does that even mean?
Right. And we, similar to your position, we talked about that with our, well, on the last fire we were talking about, I had a booter on my truck.
Mm-hmm.
A booter is a new person, a probie, first year of employment. We call them booters.
Rookie.
And really good fire. And for in firefighter terms, good fire means bad fire.
Mm.
But we're in rehab, which is where we all sit around and drink Gatorade or whatever and talk about the fire. Well, sometimes for a new firefighter, they're excited. They got to fight their first fire, and they kind of want to do like the high five,
right.
rah-rah, selfie thing. So similar to a PIO, you have to be like, hey guys and gals, when we get back in the truck on headset, let's celebrate. We'll go get ice cream.
Right.
But the people who are sitting right next to rehab, it's their house.
Mm-hmm.
And see all those news cameras over there? Let's not be on the news high-fiving about mm-hmm. this house that just burned to the ground. So, yeah, similar to PIO, I'm sure as a firefighter, you want to say, like, it was awesome.
For sure.
But you have to, like, control yourself and be
right.
like, it was tragic. We did everything we could.
Well, this is what we train for, right?
Yeah.
So if you were a football player in the NFL and you played forever and you never got to a Super Bowl, that'd be disappointing, right?
Right.
So this is what we're training for. It's our Super Bowl. We prepare for this. We don't want anything bad to happen to anybody,
yeah.
and we certainly don't want people to lose property. But if we never fought fire, what have we done all of this training for?
Yes.
Just the what if, right? So
yeah.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head when you're saying that. And I've even said on some of our social media in the past, this was so-and-so's first fire, and we feel for the family, but it's a career milestone for us, and it's a moment
right.
in time that we not necessarily celebrate, but we take stock of.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it. We don't want anything bad to happen to anybody or their property,
right.
but if it does, we really want to be there.
We want to be the ones that take care of it,
yes.
right? No one ever, ever, ever wants to go on a drowning, ever, ever, ever. And if we could never have another drowning, great. But if it's going to happen, I want to be the medic that takes care of that child.
Yes, that's the right attitude to have, right? That's
right.
the people that we're looking for, if
yes.
you're interested in being a firefighter, is the people
right.
who have that level of confidence to say, I want to be the medic taking care of the drowning.
For sure.
Don't want to go on the drowning,
no.
but if it's going to happen, I would like to be there.
Absolutely. You hope that with the training that we do and all of the practice and the schooling, we will instill that much confidence in everybody that works for your organization. And I think if you don't have that confidence and you're not feeling that way, it's so important to say,
yeah.
I don't feel confident in that. Can we train on it?
Yeah. And speaking of looking for the right people, your Glendale is hiring.
We are.
When this airs, you will already have applications open.
Oh,
so
exciting.
If you're listening and it happens to be 2022, because some of you will be listening like 6 months from now.
Right. June 27th to July 22nd, I believe, is when our applications are open of, 2022.
Yes.
So if you're listening to this in 2026.
Yes.
Because the Storyteller podcast will certainly be still around.
Yes, I'm sure it will be. So I'm sure there'll be lots of information on your social media.
Yes.
What is the social media?
At Glendale Fire. So we are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, take your pick, whatever your favorite platform is, we're on it, and
yes.
you will find information, no doubt. In fact, I recorded a video right before coming here today.
And I can say with confidence that Glendale's social media, your Instagram and TikTok and everything that you're doing is way better than every other department. At least here in Arizona, of the people that I follow, you do a fantastic job.
I appreciate that.
And for those of you who don't know, I have a hiring company, which I think everyone's aware of. But all of our candidates now are all on Instagram and TikTok. That is where they get their information.
So TikTok is the fastest growing platform of any social media platform out there. They grew 105% over the last 2 years and 44% last year with those 18 to 32 year olds.
Yeah.
That's our hiring demographic right there. So, you know, if you're not on TikTok, you're probably missing out on a huge group of people that are eager to get into this field.
I started a fire interview TikTok, but I've not put enough energy into it.
Listen, you know, social media is a full-time job.
Yes.
It takes so much time and so much energy, and people think, oh, you just pop a post up there. It's not that easy. In fact, I've been doing some training with my department. I get a whole hour with everybody, which is exciting for me to get to explain, like, this is what I've been doing, because firefighters are our toughest critics, you know.
Sure.
We like to eat our own, if you will.
And
I think when I first started doing some of the things that I'm doing, because I will wholeheartedly admit some of it's way off kilter and a little bit out there from the normal, hey, we fought this fire, we went on this, we did that, right? The news, if you will.
Yeah.
I kind of like to stop being the news. I call it being noisy. It's the same thing over and over and over. And I want people to stop and look and have a reason and maybe set a hook so that they're excited to come back and see what silliness I'm going to do tomorrow or we are. Because I think I'm getting a little more buy-in and some of our guys are a little more willing to be vulnerable and be silly and have some fun. Because ultimately, my department's a lot of fun and I want to show that.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice for anybody that's trying to build their social media or their department's social media. Mm-hmm. I got some really good advice from large pages, like we'll post memes and stuff that are just funny. They have nothing to do with hiring or interviews or who's testing, but it builds your engagement, right? And if all you post as a fire department is car seat safety every day, people just tune out. You have to do some stuff that increases your engagement. So I probably will pick your brain more about that to try to help some of the departments across the country that I'm helping with hiring, and they don't even have an Instagram.
That's craziness, because honestly, they're not, most of our age group for recruitment, they're not on Facebook. That only grew with 55 and older last year, so it's not growing in that age group. And we have to feed all the demographics, don't get me wrong. We have to feed all the platforms and look at all of the things, but you're right. Just something that strikes you is important to post and have a moment with people, because they may not, everyone that's on your site isn't trying to be a firefighter necessarily or related to a firefighter necessarily. They might just be part of the community and they want to know what's going on or they want to relate to you. Most people are on social media, so they feel connected.
Yes.
You know, the reports say, right? The majority of people that are on there just want to feel connected. So that's not necessarily showing them this fire that you and I think is awesome and look at, you know, busting through the door and saving cats, but they want to feel something and it's relatable. We all go through the same struggles. So being able to show that we have that connection with the community is important too. But I think use your social media to show your department's personality. And that's where I feel like when you look at a lot of people's socials, you don't feel that it's car seat messaging, and which is also important. It's part of the ingredients.
Yes.
But safety messaging is the hardest thing to get across and to get people to stop and look at. So
because it's easy to just go past that. You have to get creative. You have to be a little bit funny. Otherwise, it gets lost in the mix for sure.
I did a post on poison ingestion week where I chewed up some Sour Patch Kids and spit them into another PIO's hand, right? I mean, we were trying to get creative to get people to stop and go, what are you doing? I don't, if you cringe, but you get the message, fine. If you laugh and you get the message, fine. But we just trying to find creative ways to get people to stop and look.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you can follow them at Glendale AZ.
At Glendale Fire.
At Glendale Fire.
Yes. Our TikTok is Glendale AZ _fire.
Okay. But if you just search Glendale.
I bet you
you're the number one.
Not Glendale, Arizona. Or not Glendale, California. Glendale, Arizona. And you know the difference. You know how?
How?
We have yellow fire trucks. They're red.
Should they be red?
No, they should be yellow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Should yours be white?
No, we switched them all to red.
You guys went to red? I just saw a white one on my way here.
That's an old one then.
It was white and blue.
We took a vote because we were ordering all new trucks over the course of like 10 years. And we voted to switch to red.
Why? I wonder.
Okay, so the background with the... We have white trucks with blue stripes on.
Yes.
We tried to figure out, like, is there a really cool history to this that we want to stick with? Mm-hmm. Well, there really wasn't. When we switched from Rural Metro to Gilbert Fire, we ordered some trucks, I think from Pierce, maybe, something like that. Okay. But they just happened to have some trucks that were white and blue, and we're like, we'll take them.
They were the ones that got turned in. Someone was like, oh, I don't want these.
Yeah, so then we stuck with the white and blue forever and ever. I don't know how long. For a long time.
Sure.
And then we were going to switch trucks, and so we were like, maybe we should switch to red.
Wow.
So we kept the blue stripe. So they're Kansas City red with a blue stripe. So we still have like the history in there, but everybody just agreed that fire trucks should be red.
Wow. So I embrace the yellow. I love it. Honestly, and I'm not just saying that, because you'll see pictures of a big scene and it's just a sea of red trucks.
Yeah.
But you see the yellow. That's you know Glendale. We're there.
Yeah.
Unless it's Goodyear. But it's probably us because they have yellow also. But I think in the world especially, we're really embracing the idea of being unique and being individuals and not necessarily blending into the masses.
Yeah.
Well, we portray that every day. And every time we get on one of those fire trucks,
Is there any drama about switching to red?
When I first got on, there was talk of, you know, could we go to red?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it in a long time. Granted, I'm an admin. I spend time in the stations, but it hasn't been a topic. We've had other things to be concerned with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to apply, it's publicsafetyanswers.com/GlendaleAZ.
Yes.
Not to be mistaken with Glendale, California.
Correct. Who are also hiring at the time, so it could be confusing.
So if you want to work in Arizona
right.
on yellow fire trucks.
Yes. Who doesn't?
publicsafetyanswers.com/GlendaleAZ. We'll also have it on Fire-Interview and in our bio on our Instagram, and I'm sure it will be on Glendale Fire's Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So, important note about that for those of you that are actually listening during 2022, during the testing process. There's two steps.
Yep. I was going to say to you, and it's as easy as 1, 2, right?
Yes.
Two steps. You have to do an application with our city and do the application or do the testing process through your site.
So go to that landing page, publicsafetyanswers.com/GlendaleAZ. It'll say step 1, click on the link, go do the Glendale application.
Right.
Come back to the landing page, click on the link under step 2. That will take you to do your online testing process.
Get you started. Get your foot in the door.
And your video interview.
Right. That's such a new thing. How did that come about?
So that really started during COVID because departments couldn't do in-person interviews. And then the COVID thing kind of calmed down. But what we figured out was there's a couple of things that we needed to do to make fire department recruitment better.
Mm-hmm.
One is you need to cast a large net, right? And you need to make it available to everybody, not just the people right there in your backyard.
Right.
So we really wanted to get rid of convention center testing because when I got hired, you had to line up overnight, camp out, get your paper application.
Yes.
And then you had to go to a convention center and take a Scantron test.
Right. Me too.
So we're really trying to bring fire department testing to the 21st century to say, if you're deployed overseas in the military, or right. you have a vacation to Hawaii or whatever, and you're going to miss that test date.
Right.
Well, with the new process that Glendale's doing, you can test anywhere in the world as long as you have internet access and a camera.
Right.
You can take your test. It's 45 minutes. And then the video interview portion, we're like, well, why are we still doing that if right. we can do in-persons?
Yeah.
Well, we're still going to do in-persons, yeah. but with the video interview, we're able to look at hundreds and hundreds of people in the first round.
Right.
Versus in the past, we could only do what we could afford. So yeah. some departments could afford to look at 50 people right. or 100.
Cost efficiency.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, now they can afford to look at 500 or 600 or 700 people in the first round. So if they're testing with us, not only do they get to do their written, but they automatically get a first round interview.
Right.
And then
oh, it's true. I never thought about that one.
Make it to the second round. So if you read the book by our interview.
We're not plugging a whole bunch of things on this podcast at all.
Plugging anything at all.
No.
But I don't think we've ever actually talked about the testing process on the podcast. But
well, I think it's interesting. So when it was pitched to me for the first time, I was like, wait, what? People have to take an interview.
Yeah.
On computer, they're going to record it, and I'm not going to lie, I was resistant because I've seen enough people try to take a video of themselves doing something, and it's not good.
Me too. I was against it too, and I own the company.
Oh my gosh, no kidding.
Yeah, so I was totally against it, and until we tried it out. And so one thing that I appreciate that Glendale's doing, it's not true with every test that we've done, mm-hmm. is you have unlimited attempts on your video.
Right.
So if you don't like what you recorded, just re-record it.
Sure.
You have unlimited attempts to get this thing right.
And when do you get that opportunity in life?
Yeah. So
for anything.
Because our goal really is to find the best candidates.
Right.
It's not to put them under this enormous amount of pressure and try to get them to mess up.
Right.
It's to try to find the best candidate. And it's not in place of the in-person.
No.
Right? You're still
right.
going to do in-person interviews.
Right.
We just want to cast a really big net. Right. And we
sure.
want everybody to get a shot to go to the show.
Go to the show.
To go get burnt. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that was funny.
She looks great now. She's not deformed or anything.
There's a lot of makeup, but no. My mom lost her mind when I told her what was going on. She sent me all this scar fade stuff, and I was like, "It's your face." Who cares? I'm old now. No one cares.
Don't they put like? I think it's is it called silverfish?
Solvedine.
Like,
so yeah.
What is it?
It's a salve, if you will, that goes on your face. So the first hospital that I went to said, we're not going to give you this because it's light sensitive and it'll probably fade your skin. And I was like, oh, worse than the bubbly burn that's on there? And so when I went to the health center, they were like, wait, what? And they gave me the Solvedine. My biggest pet peeve now, I tell everybody, I don't care if you get a little burn on your finger, go to the burn center.
Yes.
That's specialized for a reason.
Definitely.
And if you get burn on your face, 100% go to the burn center.
Yes.
Yeah. God love some of the other fire or the other hospitals, but yeah, it wasn't good.
No.
It was painful. Painful.
Well, I really appreciate that you coming on the podcast,
yeah,
and talking to us and giving some advice and shout outs. And
I feel like we talked about a whole lot of nothing.
No, we could.
I hope
get
it was good.
Good.
I hope it was good.
There. Yeah, it time flies by. I think we're already at an hour or so.
Wow.
So,
well, hopefully it was good. Maybe some social nuggets in there too, and
yeah,
help
if you
people.
Have any questions, I'm sure you
DM
read your
me.
DMs on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, not Twitter.
No,
I'm
no
not
Twitter.
Good about it. I use that for media only, really. Not
okay.
good about the DMs on there, but Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, yeah.
We're the same way. You can hit us up on Instagram. That's
yeah.
the best way to get a hold of us. So look out for those posts about Glendale hiring. And if you have any questions about Glendale or
sure.
being a female firefighter
yeah.
or anything, I am sure that you'd be happy to help people.
I'm always looking to help people. That's what we do, right?
All right. Well, hopefully we can get you to do the long drive back here after the testing process and talk to you some more.
I'd love it. Anytime.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.